right? Well, let's take time to ask the Lord to give to us His grace and His wisdom once again. Our Father, we thank You that we can read Your Word. And we pray that You will put Your law in our mind. It writes upon our hearts. We pray for Your blessings upon us as we once again take time to do a Bible study. We pray that You will give to us Your grace and Your wisdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's take a look at your notes here. Go back to session one. What Moses and Eugene did, and wisely so, was to address some problems they felt were pertinent, important in their perspective and in life. What I'm going to try and do this morning is to link the two sessions together once again and help us all to understand why we need to address these problems as they come. Okay, take a look at page 14 now. Right? The first thing we need to know, and I listed problems in life. Now, notice there's a very general reference. I did not attach any Bible verses with that. Right? Simply because these are problems that are not simply situated and described only in the text. It is something that you see everywhere. At any time, in any country, in any given situation, these problems exist. And it would be wise for you to expect that these problems exist. You don't need to find a Bible text to find the source of these problems. You see it straight away. Well, that is why these notes were given to you, to help you recognize that there are problems. Right? So the first thing, we need to know that there are problems. The second point there is to highlight, you read Jeremiah, you begin to realize that Jeremiah seemed to be addressing the same problem again and again and again and again and again. Why? There are lots of reasons why. One, most of these problems are persistent ones. We call them chronic problems. You can have an acute problem and you can deal with it. But then there's a chronic problem, not so easy. The nature of problems of sin is that they persist. Can you see this? This is why, so whenever you just simply say, okay, let's ask God for forgiveness, and that's, it's over. Don't kid yourself. It's not over. It's a chronic problem. And as long as we keep on thinking, we just ask the Lord to forgive us, it's all over, you're going to have the problem. It's not over. So we see the persistence. If you don't address the problems will persist. You know what else is worse? The problems will escalate. That is the problem. It will keep getting worse. That's why we need to deal with the problems. Can you see this? So we see the existence, and you will see an escalation until there was no more solution outside Babylon. You want to worship idols? Go. Until you're sick of it. Are you ready to come back? Ephraim. God waited for Ephraim to return to his senses. However long you take, You want to take 10 years? Time is not a problem with God. It's a problem with us, not God. Either we deal with the problem in its roots, in its depth. That's why the Lord said, root out, pull out, pluck, destroy. If you don't do that, the problems will never go away. No, the question is, are we willing to deal with the problems? Now, why did God raise up people like prophets? People like Jeremiah? Well, if you were to address your own problems, chances are you deal with it lightly. Like the people say, peace, peace. Even where there is no peace, we say peace. It's all right, don't worry. It's okay. You know, we just be sincere and it's over. That is delusional. You honestly think a problem is chronic, is going to be over just simply because you ask God to forgive you? That is delusional. That is denial. That's not going to happen. And so God has to raise up a man like Jeremiah. Young man. You know what? He's going to represent the voice of God. And he will tell you to your face where you are wrong. Being a prophet is not a popular thing. And so God has to deal with this. A backsliding problem can be so bad, you almost end up rejecting God completely. That's how far it can go. We think it's okay, never mind. Today I skip church. I skip some more. And after a while, going back to church, you see the people, they're like strangers. The heart has gone. It has departed. That's how serious the problem is. And so God has to raise up prophets. And the prophet has only one thing to say, the word of God in his mouth. He's not there to please you. He's not there to make peace. He's there to distinguish between the vile and the precious. There's some bad figs and there's some good figs. You cannot mix the two, bad and good figs. Hopefully, the bad figs will become good figs because of the influence of the good figs. Dealing with sin is not a matter of influence. It's not being in a matter of a company. You know, I always observe people who work in a certain, they move in a certain company, a certain group, they all think alike. They all talk alike. They behave alike. So many times the prophet is alone because there are very few people who think like him. But he has to. In order to deal with the problem, you need to do what you need to do. You see, I've listed all the problems over here. I tried the A, B, C, D, E. Actually, there were more. I didn't want to. I said, stop at 26. Enough. Otherwise, we're going to alpha, beta, gamma. Just add on. Or A, A, B, B, C, C, D, D. I could add on and end up with 52. Or it's scary. It's depressing. The problem with dealing with sin is that we often deal with one or two sins. They ignore the rest. You can't. You want to deal with it as a whole. You know, you said, well, it's only a small problem. Sure, I only got a small cancer. Have you ever heard of oncologists telling you got a small cancer? You gotta be kidding. You deal with it because it is cancer. And as long as you deal with a problem lightly and say peace, and you may even feel peace, you may think peace, you may talk peace, that's not a solution. Every specific sin problem has a specific solution too. And until and unless we deal with the sin problem, that's why God had to deal with all these things. Many, many prayers were made by Jeremiah, and God said no. Why not? Because most of the prayers of Jeremiah were to just, Lord, please forgive, you know, for your name's sake, please. Jeremiah, you are not dealing with the problem. And until the problem is resolved, the problem remains. That is why to look at all these notes. Why these notes are so extensive? They are extensive because the problems are deep. You cannot deal with the problem and say, you know, apply John 1:9, and that's it. If it is not so serious, why would the Lord Jesus Christ need to die on the cross for our sins? Because it is that serious. As long as we are in denial, I mean, this is our problem. I mean, we see young parents, they see the children misbehave, and they think it's all right, you know, it's okay. Are you serious? It will stay with the child. And if you don't address it, it will destroy the child one day. You know, a lot of parents, you know, sometimes they ask children, what do you want to be when you grow up? And many people say, oh, well, you know, I want to be a doctor, I want to be an engineer. I don't think that, nowadays I don't even ask that question. I raise the question more deeply and ask, what kind of person do you want to be when you grow up? Not what kind of, what are you going to be when you grow up means what kind of profession. What kind of person do you want to be when you grow up? When a tree is planted, if it's bad, you take it out. When it's early stages, you just pull it out. Let it stay a year. It has become a sapling. Let it stay 2 years. It's become a solid tree. You cannot pull it out by your hands now. Deep-seated problem of decades cannot be dealt with simply by forgiveness. That's why the Lord gave the new covenant. That's why the Lord said that He's going to put His law in their minds. And that's what we want to look at this morning and look at it very, very carefully. What is this, the Lord? Go back to your notes here. And I want to share with you some of those things here which are important. Okay? Page 18, some solutions. And I have also listed 26 to match the problems, 26. All right? Then I want to highlight some of those things for you so that you will understand some of those problems that are there. The problems are very real. And I'll tell you what the problems, some of the problems are. Under JK, under L, the problem is the denial of sin. You know, many people deny they have a sin problem. Is the law of God in your mind? Has God written upon your heart? You see, we keep on denying the problem of sin. And as long as we keep on denying the problem of sin, there is not going to be anything worthwhile talking about. You repeat the same thing again and again and again. It doesn't matter. The problems will be repeated. I've offered 26 different things you want to try and do. Now, I urge you, if you're serious with it, you will attend to every one. So maybe you'll read the notes. You know how people read notes? Wow, so many pages. And then they ignore it. You pay attention? Wow, very chim. Too chim for me. You're denying the problem of sin. Sometimes I watch and I talk to you. You know, I some have grown much, some have grown little, some have grown not at all. It doesn't matter how many times you attend camp. It's how much you grow. It's how much you learn. And that's what we're looking at. We're not looking for answers theoretical. We're looking at live transforming changes. That's what we need to look at. Solution. Let's take a look at some of the solutions that we are looking at. Okay, first part. Obviously, return to the Lord. Have you returned? Two, relate to the Lord, my Father. Right? See, acknowledge iniquity. That's important. The Lord says, I will bring you to Zion. Are you a part of Zion? I will give you shepherds. Do you relate to the shepherds? See, a lot of people relate to each other. They don't want to learn. Can I feed you with knowledge, with understanding? That is important too to consider. Healing of backsliding, not forgiving. That's a difference between healing and forgiving. Mere forgiveness is the penalty is out. You are still the same till you are healed. Let's say that you have not read the Bible for some time now. You find it, wow, you open the Bible and you're tired. That's called fallow ground. The ground is hard. You cannot sow seed on hard ground. What do you need to do? You break up the fallow ground. You make changes that are necessary. And if you're not going to make those changes, nothing is going to happen. You see, mere forgiveness does not deal with the problem. You need to look at the solutions. Everyone is important. Circumcision of the heart. That's another. In other words, take away the problem involving the heart. Right? Now, look at M now. Take a look at this. M talks about fear of the Lord. Is the fear of the Lord there? KL, glorying in the Lord. What do you glory in? Some people glory in their wealth. Some people glory in their might. Some people glory in their wisdom. Do you glory in the Lord? Let us say you don't glory in those three things. Do you glory in anything at all? Do you glory in the Lord? If you don't glory in these things, but neither do you glory in the Lord, you haven't got a solution. You see, these solutions are important for us. The W, a heart to know me, 24/7. And we go, last night, I will put my law in their minds, write it on their hearts. Right? Z, call to me, I will answer you. Now we take on the new set of notes just very quickly right now and take a look at page 21. The old dangers in the old covenant system, many problems. Every single chapter in the book of Jeremiah details some problem or other. 52 chapters, every chapter, some problem or other. There isn't one chapter that is free from problems. That tells you a lot. Are there dangers in the new covenant system? Yes. But let's take a look at some of those problems. One of the biggest problems we have existing, if you are honest with yourself, is a problem of neglect. We neglect a lot of times. We tell ourselves, okay, today I'm busy, I'll catch up tomorrow, and tomorrow never comes. Neglect. The heart hardens by itself. We all know this. Right? Whatever food we eat, if you're not careful, calcium will start forming. And the heart slowly hardens. In medical language, they call it the stenosis. That's a Greek word. It's a narrowing. Hardening. Going astray in their heart. So the person may be in church physically, but the heart has already gone astray. It's so obvious. You see the problems which are there, they don't go away. An evil heart of unbelief, the opposite of faith. The deceitfulness of sin that is there. The rebellion that is there. The heart goes that way. You hear a word, but you did not receive it with faith. Heart, word, not mixed with faith. What's the use? What's the use of hearing all these words if you will not say, this is what I want to do. This is a word that I must receive with faith. These dangers exist. It exists right here in Bethany. It exists everywhere. In Australia, in Myanmar, in India, they exist. You end up with disobedience. We do our own thing. We're not going to do our own thing. We can't. Little or no growth. Do you see a problem of no growth? Have you understood more? This is 3 years of studying Jeremiah. Let me ask you, how familiar are you with the book of Jeremiah? What's the 5th chapter? What's the 7th chapter? What's the 15th chapter? See? Little or no growth. We think it's not important. What's the point of reading 52 chapters if you can't remember a single one? No use. Little or no growth. Are pastors capable of no growth? Yes. This is why we push the pastors all the time. Because there's no other way but to grow. These are problems. And then finally, we fall away and we have grounds that bear thorns. Have you come across thorny Christians? They're always finding fault. They're always rubbing people, poking people all the time. They're always saying bad things. Nothing is good. Be careful. You can end up with grounds that bear thorns instead of good fruit. These are existing problems. I've just highlighted some of them. What is the solution? And we want to end up with solutions, not just highlighting problems. And I want to be very clear. We read in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. We have to give more earnest heed. The fervor that we see in camp does not end, it commences. Do we give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard? If not, how shall we escape so great a salvation given to us? God also bearing witness. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 4. Are you giving earnest heed? Or we should. Consider this very carefully. But we see Jesus, the whole theme, much in April, but we see Jesus, captain of our salvation. E, let us fear. Do I have fears? Yes. What is my fear? That I'm not growing. What is my fear? The Bible becomes a closed book to me. What's my fear? My fear is very real and very great, because if I cannot lead, the whole IPC family, we all die. I have to lead it, obviously. And so when you lead, you fear, because in the work of God, you need God to be there to tell you where to go, what to do. You don't do it your way. That's the problem. We keep on wanting to do things our way, and we keep on making mistakes. There is no room, no time for making such mistakes. How do we do this? We fear the Lord. We watch Him lead us, the captain of our salvation. Go on further. What else we need to do? Let us go boldly, or come boldly, to the throne of grace. In other words, prayer. How real is prayer? How real is prayer? For you who are parents, if I were you, I will watch your children grow up, grow, and you will minister in fear, in faith, because they can go wrong so easily. And they've gone wrong, they have gone wrong for so long, you don't even know it. And as parents, we say, we laugh about it, that's okay, don't worry. You lead your children to destruction if you take that attitude. Look at these problems. Let us go on to perfection. In other words, maturity. We have laid the foundations. We move on all the time. Every year, we become wiser, more mature. Are we? Or have we stopped? That is how we find a solution. You see, we stagnate. We start, we stop. And we think that God will just forgive us and He will just wave a magic wand and everything will be okay. Doesn't work that way. It's up to us to find a solution, perfection, maturity. That's what it means. Diligence is not a word. Due diligence is not the work of the accounting people.
It's a work we believe in, due diligence. I think this is something we need to look at very, very carefully, due diligence. Do you have an anchor for your soul? What's your anchor? Because if you don't have an anchor, you drift. We want to be that special community for the Lord, the anchor in the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and minds. Look at 10:16 of Hebrews. Let's take a look at this very carefully. Right? Let's go back to the scriptures here. Look very carefully in chapter 10, and then it was 16 we read. After those days, I will put my laws into their hearts, and their minds I will write them. Do you see this is a reverse order? Right? I will put my laws in their minds and write upon their hearts. This one, he switches around. I will put it into their hearts and their minds. In other words, there is no difference. You cannot love the Lord only with the mind without the heart. You cannot say, I have a heart of love for the Lord. The mind doesn't grow. The Lord does both work, in the heart and in the mind. He writes on the heart and on the mind. Let me ask you, what has he written upon you in the last couple of days? What has he written? I had an email from Kenya late last night. And the person was saying, Pastor, what a wonderful word it is. He's watching this thing from Kenya. Another person was so deeply moved, early morning wrote and said, Pastor, what a wonderful everlasting love God has for us. What is God writing on your heart and on your mind? You see, we can just be moved temporarily. But if nothing moves beyond the temporary moment, God has not written on your heart and your mind. You can't. It takes time to write. And the Lord wants to write upon your heart and upon your mind. Look at this. Really? Are you there writing? The Lord draws us with loving kindness, right? We read in Jeremiah 31. Here is the reverse. Let us draw near. So as the Lord draws us to Himself, the challenge is let us draw near. Tell me, are you near to God? Is He near to you? And if we are not looking at such solutions, what do we have? The problems remain. Let us hold fast. Let us consider one another to love, to good works. Let me ask you, in your fellowship time, this last few, over all the meals, how many people have you encouraged to walk with the Lord? In the percentage of the amount of things you talk about, let me ask you, percentage. What is the percentage of the mention of the Lord in your conversation? How are you? How's the food? Did you sleep well? How are the children? Wow, good camp, huh? Okay. How many percentage? What's the percentage like? 1%. Did you talk about the Lord? Did you talk about your decision to follow the Lord? Did you talk to anybody at all? What is this about stirring each other to love and to good works? If we are not doing that, then we have not the Word of God written upon our heart and our mind. Look at, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Okay? And I really hope this. And I, you know, if we were to announce, I mean, I plan next year's calendar with Shangri-La. This is March 2016 or 2017. You know, I've already signed up all the things for 2018. Did you sign up already for next year's event? Let me ask you, did you even sign up for Easter? See? We procrastinate. Why? Why do we procrastinate? Oh, I've got plenty of time. Why do we think that way? Why are we not saying, you know, listen, afterwards we set up a register here and register people. Let's do it immediately. If you don't want to overcome this problem, the procrastination problem will remain with you the rest of your life. And you know what? It will carry you with, in a spiritual manner too. Oh, read the Lord. Yeah, okay. How about, yeah, okay. That tiredness, that lackadaisical approach is scary. You have known how dangerous and how deadly that really, really is. It's important for us to understand. I'm just trying to apply this into your life. This is important. Look at P. Living by faith. Let me ask you seriously, are you really living by faith? That's my message on Saturday, by faith. That's how Bethany started, by faith. We had 25 people. 44 years later, it's still by faith. A lot of people think about this, think about that. There is no active, powerful, dynamic faith to speak about. What does God write in our heart, in our mind? Tell me, what does He write? You know what He has written in my heart? Faith. Live by faith. Young man, that's what I was. Learn to live by planted, root in my heart, root in my mind, same word. Heart and mind, same word. Faith. That's what it is. What was the other word? Serve. So it wrote in my heart, mine heart, I will serve. And I will be there to serve. With every passing day, my breathing becomes a bit more labored. So afterwards, I'm going to go and take a puff. And I don't mean a cigarette. What's my mind? Serve. What's in my mind? Faith. What's in my mind and heart? Love. What's in my mind and heart? Commitment. When you have these things written inside your heart and mind, you live that way. But when we take, well, you know, we'll take it easy, you know, not yet, I'll sign last minute. It reflects who you really are. Let me ask you, have you paid the camp fees yet? I've been asking the treasurer, send me. I will collect the camp fees for you. Sure. Why? Oh, it's okay, we'll take our time. Is that you? Is that really your heart? Is that your mind? Is that the kind of person you really are? You haven't grown. That's how we serve the Lord. What is written in our heart, in our mind? Let's lay aside every weight. What is weighting you down? What's your weight? And I don't mean the other type of weight. But you know, the other type of weight can also weigh you down. What is causing you to be so weighed down? You can't attend to the Lord and His work seriously. Lay aside whatever weights there may be. Have you started running in this race of faith yet? I've been running for 50 years and more, and I'm still running. I'm tired yet? Not until the student pastors are ready to take over. Please hurry up. Run with endurance. And they know. At midnight, they're still in my room. We're talking about this morning's study. Early morning, at 7-something in the morning, I see Eugene. We run with endurance. But of course, have you even started walking? Don't talk about running. See, you all run physically. I see you all so fit. Huh? Running here, running there, swimming here, swimming there, making waves. Fine. How about the spiritual part? We're not. We are not. And this is something we need to look at. Look at it. Can you see this? Enduring chastening. Strengthening the hands. This morning, I want to give you a special, share with you a concept and a dream I call Bethany. I was the one who started Bethany, and this was my understanding of what it is. Over the years, it grew into Zion. This is what I want to share with you about Zion, about Mount Zion. When we started off at Bethany, I called it Bethany because that was the place Jesus would go to. He never stayed in Jerusalem, not even one night. He will minister in the day and walk 3 miles away to Bethany and return the next morning. So every day he will walk 6 miles to teach the Lord's word and come back to Bethany. It was there that people loved him. It was there that people fed him. It was there that people, one person, anointed him. It was there he was loved. It was there he was listened to. It was there because this was home. This was family. This is how Bethany was started. Built upon this. But over the years, Bethany has grown into theological, conceptual Zion. And I want to share this part with you, and it is a beautiful, beautiful thing here. Let me bring my Greek text to share this with you. This is a picture of Bethany, a picture of Zion that I want to share with you very much. In chapter 30 of Jeremiah, we read, Zion is an outcast. Who cares? In chapter 31, the cry was, let us arise, let us go to Zion. What is Zion? 22 to 24, and it is a beautiful thing, and I want to share these thoughts with you. I'm going to take a little bit of time just to share some thoughts with you. Okay? First, we read the word, but you have come to, okay, watch this very carefully, but you have come to Mount Zion. The word but, There are many ways you can use the word but in Greek. This is a but. It is known as the Allah word. It is the strongest way of contrast to say that this is not Mount Sinai. This is not a physical thing. The contrast is to be understood, to be noted. But you have come to Mount Zion, not Mount Sinai. And I have listed a number of things with what it is. Okay? Let's take a look at the things which are there. What is Mount Zion? It is the city of the living God. That's how we want to understand and appreciate it. Okay? It is a wonderful concept. We have come to Mount Zion, a city of the living God. Our God is alive. We believe in a living God, not an idol. And when we worship Him, He is there to receive that worship. He deserves better attention from us than a lackadaisical way of approaching work or ministry. Either we serve Him with diligence or we don't serve Him at all. Either we serve Him faithfully or forget about service. We come to a living God, a city of the living God. And we take a look at this. It's called the heavenly Jerusalem, to a place where we have an innumerable company of angels. You know, I really believe angels are right here with us, around us, right here, right now. Now we go on further. To a general assembly and church of the firstborn ones. I love this phrase here. Registered in heaven. You know, in the old days, when a person is born in Jerusalem, they record his name. This man is born in Jerusalem. Everyone we baptize, everyone who becomes a part of us, you know, this verse applies. Your name is registered in heaven too. We are not asking people to become members. We're saying that people who love the Lord, they naturally want to be part of us. If they're not part of us, they're not part of us. That's okay, we understand. But we understand the privilege of having our names registered in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Can you see the beauty of it all? Now let's take a look at what else is there. Church of the firstborn ones. Ephraim was grandson, promoted to son, promoted to firstborn. We are the firstborn ones in Christ. That is our status before God. We come to God, the judge of all. We come to the spirits of just men made perfect. We come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. We come to the blood of sprinkling. These are the eight wonderful, glorious reasons that mark us as Mount Zion. We don't just simply announce a song for worship. We sing because we have a heart to sing. We're marching to Zion. Let those who refuse to sing because they do not know our God. We are there. We are conscious of Jesus. We are conscious of God as the judge. We are conscious He's a living God. We are conscious we are in His city. We are conscious our names are written in heaven. My name is there for Easter next year. Of course. And Christmas, an anniversary. Why? I'm Zion. I'm Bethany. I'm part of that city. This is the community of the firstborn ones. I am firstborn status. I'm not a slave. Of course I'm there. How can you not be there? That's how we love the Lord. That's how we love the church. That's our consistency. That's our diligence. That's our life. That's who we are. Are you one of God's people? Really? Where is your spirit? Where is that maturity? Where is that commitment? Where is that diligence? Where is that faithfulness? Where is that life? Where is that energy? Where is the example? Where? The lackadaisical approach towards faith and life will destroy us. Don't ever let it happen. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. Since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace that we may serve God acceptably with reverence and with fear. But of course, wherever you are serving, however you are serving, are you doing it with reverence and with fear? Anything else less is not worthy of service. It's called the word service. It's not how it works. There's something we want to think about very, very carefully. Let's go forth outside. In other words, this is where the Lord is, wherever the Lord is, outside Jerusalem, you know, I'm going to follow him. This is what we want. We want to teach what it means. I like what the Poo brothers were talking, you know, whether 100% support from their parents, not going to grumble, you know, why aren't you spending time studying? Did their grades suffer? You check with them. They are all A's. We're happy for them. We rejoice. This is their testimony. This is their life. And that's how it should be. And I really want to challenge you to ask, do you understand God's plan here? God is trying to make us his people. We talk to you, we see some of you, we know you have all kinds of ideas. Many of the ideas are wrong ideas. It's like Sue Wen said, if you come to talk to me, you think that I will endorse whatever you say, you're wrong. I'm never going to endorse anything that is incorrect. I will correct you first. But a lot of people don't want to be corrected, so they just avoid me. Fine, that's your problem. I will continue to serve the Lord. That has been my focus all these years, and it hasn't changed one bit. But if we share the same heart, we share the same spirit, we will understand each other perfectly because we know this is what it should be. This is what faith should be. This is what believing in God should be. We are alive to God. This is God's plan to make us his people. You know what? I buy it. I own it. I believe in it. This is my life. And I'm going to live this out, this life. And I make no apology for that. If I love the Lord, I love the Lord. You know, I have photographs of my two grandchildren that are stairways in my house. Every morning when I walk down, I would just touch them. And I'll just pray for them. You know why? Because I love them. And I am not abashed to speak of that love for them. But you want to say that I love God even more. That's how it is. He's loved us with an everlasting love. What do we give back in return? A paltry, can't be bothered attitude. I call that sin. What do you call it? can I address this problem with you? Would you correct things in your life? Let's make God's plan for His people come to fulfillment. Let's do it. Let's grow in understanding, in wisdom. Let's build resolve. Let's have faith. Let's find grace. Let's find strength on a personal level. Let's fulfill it. I want to be God's, one of God's people, and I want to fulfill it. If I have to do it alone, I will. But I thank God that there are other people who say, we are in with you. That's what we want to see. As on a church level, we need this integration. We need this cohesion. We need this consciousness. We need the support. We need that oneness. We want to see that fellowship. We want to move forward and upwards. That is a vision for God's people. Challenge. Are you one of God's people? If you're not, no matter what you do, no point dragging the person. Come, let's go. No point. You're flogging a dead horse. Nothing's going to move. You want to go? Okay, now go now. But for that worship is useless. You know, I really, really admire people who cannot be with us, whether in the US or whether in Kenya or whether in Singapore, they want to watch. And I'm just amazed that they are moved in their heart. And here we are live. Have you been moved? Has God written upon your heart and on your mind? What has He written? What has He written? Or our minds so closed, hearts so hardened, He cannot write anything. It's up to us to choose. We conclude this camp, this morning Bible study. Let me ask you seriously, what has God written upon your heart and upon your mind? How much has He written? Has He even written one word? How many words has He written in your heart and on your mind? Can He make a book? Or only a few sentences here and there? What has God written upon your heart and upon your mind? You know what is written? Very easy to tell. It's the way you live. The very life you live is exactly what God has written upon your heart and upon your mind. And if that life does not reflect the Lord's work, then God has not written upon your heart and upon your mind. You are part of the mixed multitude. Part of the people who came out of Egypt. But you're not going to Canaan. But of course, and I want to challenge us all, as we close, let the Lord speak to your heart this morning once again. Let Him write upon your heart and upon your mind. What would He write? What would you have Him write? Think about this. Let's pray together. This morning, I want to seriously ask you what God has written upon your heart and upon your mind. Can He write these words in your heart, in your mind? You know, I think of the Lord Jesus Christ and how He gave His life for me, how much He suffered for me. And I am moved to tears. You know what my heart says? I tell the Lord, Lord, You will not die in vain for me. I will not let Your death be in vain. I want to live for God. I want to serve Him, and I want to serve Him diligently and faithfully at the highest possible standard. I don't see any other way. And I'm going to challenge you to consider what it means to be part of Mount Zion. We come to a living, to a city of a living God. He's right here in our midst, surrounded by angels, the spirits of just men made perfect. We are in that company of glorious, faithful, powerful servants of God. Let your heart be stirred to take up your place. What is your place? There is no place if the heart of love is not there. No place where the faith is not real. No place where the love of the Lord is not embedded inside you deeply. You can have a place. God invites you. Let Him renew, revive your heart, your life today. And tell the Lord, I want to come alive today. Would you consider that? Make the Lord's name great through what we do as a church. Let's lift His name up on high, and may, as He is lifted up, draw people to Himself. Our Father, we come to You this morning with this desire in our heart to see what You meant when You want us to be a people for You, to be a testimony, to be a light, to be a city on a hill where people, by the way they see us, will recognize we are God's people who love You, who will worship You, who will serve You faithfully with great diligence and zeal and perseverance, with great commitment and dedication. Lord, help us to address the problems in our life and help us to live the way we should, as we were meant to, as people whose names are written in the book of life, names called firstborn in the sight of God. Father, help us to understand what it means to be part of the royal priesthood, a chosen generation set apart for the Lord's work. Lord, hear this our prayer and bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.